Hi, it's Joel Martin from HFS Research. I'm the executive research leader here in charge of our application modernization studies. And one thing I've been very passionate about over my 3 decades here in this industry, as an analyst, as a consultant, as an implementer of technology, has been building and delivering software. And I've advised many companies how to do this. And I'm joined today by Himanshu Arora, COO of Rhino.ai. Rhino has a story here that they first told me a little over a year ago. And so over the past years, Himanshu came on board and I've talked to some of Rhino's partners. I've seen that story come to life. So with my long preamble, welcome, Himanshu. It's great to see you.
Absolutely. Thank you, Joel, for having me here and having this interesting conversation on what are we doing with the future of software development, legacy modernization, and how do we get businesses the power to really escape from all the $1.7 trillion of legacy they have and into what they can really use, which can give them all the AI features, capabilities that they want to have in future. At Rhino, we have taken that as a task to go ahead and have our clients get modernized to the latest and the greatest estates without any vendor lock-in and giving them something with which they can go ahead and build their own applications to any target technology choice of their making at any point of time. So, some interesting pieces of the work that we have done. And in a fantastic place that we want to head to eventually.
Let's talk about something very important first. This goes beyond just being a low code or a no code, which a lot of people over the last decade have tried to educate me on is the future of software development. And that, yes, that is an evolution of the rapid application development platform. It further accelerates agile. But what you guys have built is fundamentally, it's beyond that. And can you literally, or can you maybe talk a little bit more about why you've designed what you call the UAN? And why that's important to understand how that differs from, say, a low code, no code solution, because it fundamentally takes in so much more of what software is trying to do, as I said in the preamble.
Sure, Joe. Let me start off with that answer with a little bit of more background and history on what I used to do in my previous lives and then connect it to as to how is UAN relevant and important. So just like you, Joel, I've been in this business for a couple of decades, helping clients do legacy modernizations, app generations, business transformations, and so on and so forth. And I have started from the days of previous to BPA and BPM and BRMS days and so on and so forth, right? From those days in this market. Even when low code arrived, it actually holds a lot of promise to say businesses can come in and collaborate with IT and get out apps in a few days, a few weeks, a few months. The promise is amazing. When I actually started implementing it and going to a ton of my clients, what I realized is adoption is still poor. So why is adoption poor? Because every single low-code designer that we opened up ended it with starting, let's tell me, what do you do today in your business? And let's go ahead and get it to a low-code platform, some proprietary, some open source, you name it, they come in all sizes and shapes. We realized at that point of time that the adoption is poor because of how we have done IT consulting around low-code, no-code, and in general, software modernization. It's not changed for decades. We still go and ask, tell me what you do. Let's do whiteboarding. Let's do a top-down workshop. Let's do ABC, XYZ in the naming convention of the low-code, no-code platform. Let's get those specs into the tooling and then go through the development process, assuming that we are building net new business capabilities. 90% of the software development and modernization world today starts with something that exists. You're not creating something drastically new. Imagine going to a bank and saying, I want to modernize your client onboarding. Do they not do client onboarding today? Well, they do. It just happens to be across 20 applications in 40 technologies built over 25 years by hundreds of people. That's what it is. Doesn't mean they do not do customer onboarding. Do they want to just get rid of that entire process as is, or do they want to make maybe 20% tweak to that process because they're not going to let their millions of clients be onboarded very drastically differently? They want to digitize, but not at the expense of breaking everything they have. What if? What if we were to go in and tell them, I can automatically discover and extract everything that you do in this client onboarding across your apps, across your technology spaces, convert it to an application semantics in what we called as our universal application notation layer, devoid of technology, using which business and IT can come together in a visual format and tell me my client onboarding actually is these 20 workflows and these 40 business rules, and they are used by these five users, and they use data from these three integration sources, right? And so on and so forth. The ability for us to go ahead and create the language, the true universal application language, which is devoid of the technology hindrances underneath, was the first big ticket item that we did. So we do automated discovery analysis, which nobody else does, to say, here is what it looks like. We then get rid of technology syntax, get it into the application semantics layer in UAN, and then we give the priceless choice to the customer to say, what do you want the target technology stack to be in? And they might choose to say, I want my workflows or cases to be in this low-code, no-code layer based on my enterprise choices, but I want my integrations to be in an iPaaS layer, whichever one they choose to be. I want it to be in a headless architecture pattern with my front end to be in React or Angular or whatever not, and so on and so forth. The ability for Rhino to truly scale up across the enterprise, not be stayed away with one technology by itself, and then give them the entire new future architectural paradigm and put the technology syntax of those paradigms back again to the application semantics in UN layer is what sets us apart. We have the unique ability to honestly play church and state in this conversation, right? And that's how Rhino is different from traditional low-code, no-code platforms or open-source platforms, because of these three fundamental building blocks.
So maybe you can talk a little bit about what drove the epiphany with Harrison and the team there at your CTO and yourself to really go, that's the killer sauce.
No, absolutely, Joel. So all of us, including our CEO Adam, CTO Harrison, myself, we've been in this business for quite some time, right? And all of us, when it all came together, we realized that our mission in our next life, after having lived through and learned through that life, was to actually automate our old jobs. And it would be like, with the advent of AI, GenAI coming into picture, all the good work that has been done, like, how do we automate our old jobs of creating apps and generating apps and modernizing apps and developing software by itself? What's missing pieces of this puzzle? The second epiphany was, why can't an app be an app be an app in an enterprise? Why does it need to be a Salesforce app versus a ServiceNow app versus a Java app versus a something else app? For business, irrespective of whether doing collections or lending or client onboarding, right? Or credit card issuance or whatever they are doing in each and every LOB. Imagine a world where all of them were written those specs in the same language. Business IT collaborates only using that language. So we decided to figure out what that language is, and we couldn't find a lot of things in the world. There were BPMN for certain process modeling, there were DMN for decision modeling, there were ER diagrams for DML, and so on and so forth. And we said, if I have to really go build an app, I have to go stitch it all together. And you can imagine trying to create multiple of these formats and standards and bringing them together to say every single app in the world can potentially be represented with this structure. And after a lot of effort going into that, a lot of research, a lot of work with our partners and customers. That's how UAN, Universal Application Notation, originated as the best way to represent an app devoid of any technology, where you can define your business expressions and rules in natural language if you wanted to, or you can write them as if-then-else statements if you wanted to. You can see the workflows in a visual format without saying this is a case versus a workflow versus a different representation of how a technology vendor has architected their product underneath. So that's exactly how UN evolved. And we realized that nobody else is doing it in the world at that point of time. So that was the core fundamental of UN.
I want to make this real for people. This isn't just theory. You have real customers deploying this. I know in many cases you can't see who those customers are, but can you give some for instances on how you are seeing customers get benefits and what outcomes you're seeing already in the journey you're taking with your partners to enable these with your customers?
Absolutely. I'm going to call out a couple of instances of our customers. Customer number one, they were able to fairly quickly take an existing custom app and convert it to ServiceNow in less than 6 weeks, in less than one-fourth of the cost that they had budgeted for. Their original implementation plan was close to 9 months. We were able to get it done in 6 weeks. Their original budget, we were able to get it done in one-fourth of that budget using Rhino as a technology. Case study number one. Case study number two, another such instance where the customer had .NET applications, and we were able to help them move to another low-code, no-code platform in 50% lower cost than what they had got as quotes from existing services vendors that they were using originally without Rhino. We were able to get it done in that much lower cost, and this time 70% faster time to market. So that's some of the stories around using some high code, custom code legacy apps, converting them into low code, no code platforms, or even platform modules like ServiceNow, ITSM, and so on and so forth that we've been able to do. Our partners are now embedding our offerings into some of their offerings, larger conversations around app modernization, app generation, showing us as the new set of AI tooling as part of their offering set as well. And that's how they're taking us into the market, working with our clients directly as well as their own customers in this space.
That's so cool. And that speaks to something that we're big on here at HFS, which is services as software. It's really reframing the whole conversation in such a powerful way. And I love those examples. I want to close out with one quick thing. You know, we talked a lot about UAN and we talked about what you can do from a technology stand, but you guys aren't staying still. One thing that you showed me a couple months back was a tool you called Ava. Tell us a little bit about that. What kind of sneak peek and how are you seeing that being adopted right now?
Sure. So Ava is our autonomous virtual agent, short form Ava by itself. But we've been creating all our technology platform for the last couple of years now, right? So when we started shifting some of our architecture to the agentic workforce architecture, that's where Ava came into existence around a couple of months back. And the idea was simple and straightforward with Ava. A, how do we go ahead and get a lot of our own agents that we have developed for extraction, for transformation, and so on and so forth, work hand in hand with the software partner vendor agents, the Now Assist of the world, the Blueprints of the world, right? And so on and so forth, as well as any other agents that the client might have created, or other partners might create in future. How do we take all of that, orchestrate it using Ava, such that we can solve the fundamental problem that we are trying to solve, which is go ahead and modernize the way IT consulting gets done, software gets generated by itself. So that was the fundamental framework of being able to take Ava, mini Avas across all those agents, and then orchestrate all these agents, some of ours, some of our partners, into solving business problems in the context of app modernization and app generation by itself. We've seen a few clients adopt AVA. One of the use cases was interesting enough, where they threw in a whole bunch of applications at us as part of an application portfolio rationalization exercise. And we had AVA go look into it, look at the analysis of some of those apps, and start giving recommendations out. For example, they had come through with a lot of three companies merger and acquisition. A ton of apps were a little bit duplicative in nature. And AI was able to figure out, saying, based on the workflows that I've generated in UAN, it looks like 70% of these workflows do something similar. Before you transform them into a low-code, no-code platform, we did some of those exercises. We were able to cut down good 40% of their apps because we don't need to transform them, and we were able to harmonize them fairly well. The second use case Eva was able to show them was best practices. Then generate the new application using a good combination of all of this. And then pointing out to say, hey, here are three places where it does not make sense what you're asking me to do. I still remember this conversation. It was around a naming convention on a set of ServiceNow tables and columns and so on and so forth. And Eva pointed that out. And the architect said, nobody has caught this earlier. It's interesting. Now that you've caught it, can you fix it in my previous application sets, not the one that you're working on? Because we have generated it the same way for our previous applications as well. And Eva was able to, like, okay, give me those apps that you have developed not using Rhino, but I can go ahead and fix some of the apps using this new best practice as well. So, amazing set of use cases that are coming out of how people perceive and what they want Eva to do eventually at this point of time.
Yeah, what strikes me is just how intentional your design has been to bring a solution that isn't just about let's create efficiencies or productivity, but what is the intent of software to solve the problems the business needs? That's the secret sauce, because it really aligns with, what does the CEO care about? What does a chief revenue officer care about? What does a chief operating officer and their teams care about doing? And they have to do it with their existing systems. Well, Himanshu, thank you so much for your time. Educational as always. I really appreciate it. And I recommend everybody check out rhino.ai if you haven't. It's got something special that might just be for you.
Thank you, Joel, for the kind words, and it was great talking to you today.